Good morning. I'm Michael Hernandez. KRWG News Time is 6:45. El Paso Mayor Dee Margo has confirmed police are investigating whether a racist message posted online shortly before the shooting that killed 20 people at a Walmart was written by the suspect, 21-year-old Patrick Crucius from Allen, Texas, a Dallas suburb. State prosecutors in El Paso announced they will pursue the death penalty against Crucius. Fred Martino has more.
In an interview with NPR News, former El Paso Congressman and Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke said political rhetoric in the country, quote, is an invitation to hatred, and not just to hatred, but to violence. El Paso Mayor Dee Margo told KTAP the city will not be defined by the tragedy.
Our community will not be defined by this senseless, evil act of violence. We will be defined by the unity and compassion we showed in the wake of this tragedy. United, our community will heal. El Paso is too strong to be broken by a cowardly act like this one.
We'll have continuing coverage on the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton from NPR News and online at krwg.org.
An organization here in the Borderlands has been working to educate communities so they understand their civil rights. Anthony Moreno talked with Fernando Garcia, founding executive director for the Border Network for Human Rights, to learn more about the group's mission.
Essentially, it's to train community leaders so they can educate members of our community about something very essential, which is the Constitution of the United States. So we start teaching immigrant families and border residents about the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. I mean, what to do in case of a raid. So we started doing that 21 years ago. And also what we did at that time was to start collecting cases of abuse. I mean, so we can find patterns of abuses, but also at the same time, making public and denounce the abuse of constitutional rights by law enforcement agencies.
What are some common things that you hear from communities they might not know what their rights are?
I was very, taken back by the fact that not only immigrants but also U.S. citizens living at the border do not know about the constitutional rights. But it probably went a little bit beyond that. I mean, people at some point believe that because they live at the border, that they didn't have rights. I mean, their mentality was almost a mentality of an abused family. I mean, that the culture of abuse was permeating through families, through communities. I mean, there was this lie that if you were an immigrant, you wouldn't have constitutional rights, so you wouldn't have immigrant rights, or that's why your person and your dignity was not going to be respected. And when they produce or they repeat that lie many times, especially the climate, the enforcement agencies were telling people that they didn't have rights. So when people got the realization that they were human beings and that they were entitled to constitutional and human rights, that changed their lives. And also, it was very amazing for us.
What is your take on how border communities have been affected mm-hmm. by President Trump's immigration policy and enforcement policy?
Let me say that what we had experienced in the last 30 years at the border, probably a little bit longer, it is the combination of two systems that are violating the rights of immigrants, but also border residents, I mean, U.S. citizens and legal residents. On one hand, we had what I call expansive criminalization of immigrant families. What that means is that in the past, crossing the border without inspection, it used to be an administrative violation. I mean, it was like passing the red light. I mean, you would break just a minor administrative law. Today, that is not the case any longer. So especially under this administration, people that crosses the border without no documents, it is treated as criminals. And we're talking about children, mothers, families being taken to jail and detention centers, and they are prosecuted. I mean, because the narrative is telling that they are potential criminals in that sense. So the expansive criminalization, and didn't start it with Trump. I mean, I think we had also Democratic administrations that they contributed to this criminalization. Some of the criminalization codes that we have in the books right now started with Clinton at that time. And then the other system that grew out of that criminalization is what I call the militarization of the U.S.-Mexico border. We never had in the past so many armed personnel and soldiers deployed at the U.S.-Mexico border like we have today.